We're hanging out with Leah on Sunshine's Table Talk this morning. And I don't know about you, when you think about the Australian dream and the Australian dream home, often you can be thinking about, you know, your 3x2 open planned house. Maybe you've got a pool, maybe there's a backyard for the dog, or even now I think a lot of home plans that are being built come with a theatre room, all those sorts of things. It's definitely a dream that so many of us are chasing, but is it actually sustainable for our growing population, and especially in our day and age where it's so expensive and we actually have a shortage of homes available for people. And to join me now on the phone to talk all things housing and maybe how we can do it a little bit differently is Anthony Diomaze, architect, design, if I can speak properly, and sustainability advocate. Anthony, thanks so much for joining me on Table Talk.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Anthony, talk to me about this whole sorts of situation. Obviously, people know that there's a lot of housing instability in Australia, but what do you sort of see as some of the factors contributing to that instability?
Look, in recent times, there's been quite a change. I suspect what's happened is post-COVID, the building industry, and particularly the housing industry, has gone through, you know, something of a crisis. Now, the reasons for that are complex, but I think part of it is that there was such a lot of subsidies and a lot of money that was given over to housing to sort of keep it going and to incentivize the construction industry. And I suspect when that all ended, there was a real crisis that emerged in the building industry, and that's really contributed to a bit of a housing crisis in recent months and 6 months, 12 months, that I think is really biting at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like as well, the way we do our homes and the way we build our cities with our infrastructure and you know, the fact that we're all ideally wanting that 3x2 or that 4x3 contributes to a way of living and having less, you know, housing for more people? Because it's not really, you know, we're not really, especially over here in Western Australia, we don't have as many high rises and it's not something that people sort of aspire towards. Do you think that contributes to part of the problem?
Oh, definitely. I think the way in which we're investing in housing, the cost of housing is making it much more difficult for average income earners to afford a house. I think we've sort of fallen in love with, you know, the glass splashback, you know, the appliances. A lot of appliances are really, you know, quite expensive. We're very data driven, so there's a sort of high level of connectivity, lighting, all of those sorts of things, and also the size of housing. You know, wasn't so long ago that we're actually building fairly simple houses. You know, you could call them really basic, but that contributed to the affordability, and that contributed to the idea of the Great Australian Dream. So we are sinking a lot of money, and I think architects are partly to blame.
Yeah, sure.
We are sinking a lot of money into our housing, which is making it very aspirational, and it's contributing to the cost, and it's contributing to an affordability crisis.
Yeah, definitely. And there's definitely that sort of feeling of got to keep up with the Joneses, you know, of what other people, our neighbours got, or when they're, you know, renovating or whatnot. Is there anything else in the sort of design and architect world that you see that's very innovative in terms of where we should be going for the future of housing and our design and our plans? And yeah, what's happening in that space that you think could provide good solutions?
Look, you hear a lot of things being spoken about. You don't hear many things being acted on the ground, if I'm really honest with you. I mean, I noticed just recently someone reached out to me talking about a sort of room exchange, which I thought was really innovative. So where people have got spare rooms, that they're actually offering that to people who are having difficulties with finding housing.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. I mean, I suppose you could argue the boom in apartment housing has contributed, is helping the affordability issue. There's those sorts of things. I mean, but in terms of ideas about how we can better manage these sorts of things, I really think we have to have a serious conversation about what we're actually putting into our houses and how we're building. And I suspect when we have that conversation, some of the solutions will be self-evident.
Yeah.
We just don't need to build as big as we do.
Yes.
And we need to sort of detach housing from being the most major investment that most people make in their lifetime. I think that's all contributing to this issue.
Yeah, right. I'd like to explore that point further, I suppose, and maybe how we can shift our mindset. But we're going to go to a quick song and we'll be right back with Anthony after this. You're on Sunshine's Table Talk, hanging out with Leah, and joining me on the phone is Anthony, who is a architect, design and sustainability advocate. And before we went to that song, we were talking about shifting sort of a mindset around, you know, what we need to have in our housing, or even if that's becoming our, you know, our biggest asset, you were mentioning, Anthony. What are some other ways that people could shift their mindset? I think for Perth and Western Australia especially, there's a negative view around apartment living. Is that something that you see we need to be more comfortable, you know, maybe accepting that smaller space to have a more sustainable housing system in Australia?
Look, I think the key to it is actually having housing choice. I mean, you know, we're not all in a sort of two-person, you know, or four-person family unit that requires a house. Some of us are single, some of us are in quite complicated relationships, and some people have real needs, whether it be physical or emotional needs. So I think housing choice is really the key. So, I mean, there are a lot of apartments in, you know, on the eastern seaboard, you know, in the major cities, Melbourne and Sydney, and fewer, I believe, in Perth. But I think it all comes down to housing choice.
Yeah, great.
So that different people have, like, for instance, my daughter lives in an apartment and she really enjoys it. She has a sense of safety within that sort of environment that other people perhaps wouldn't enjoy.
Yeah, great. I think that's something to note as well. Yeah, it's really about what your needs are and having those options. If we look overseas to other sort of countries or cities, is there anything that you take inspiration of in some of your work or in your conversations that's like, okay, that's something that we could model to continue having sustainable housing here in Australia?
Particularly in Germany, I think one of the things that's happening over there is that there's a real interest in how much an energy needs to consume, this sort of energy consumption of a house.
Yeah, great.
So they often capture that data. And there is a company here called Evertat that's actually promoting this idea, where it actually kind of gives you a sense of how much energy, how much water, how much resource you're actually using in your house to live. And then that becomes something that you can actually promote when you're selling the property. So that people almost have kind of like a bit of a logbook or an energy rating, a very simple energy rating system that people can actually attribute to that house. Now, I believe in Germany that contributes to house value. Now, that's not the case here in Australia. We tend to think about the size of the property and location as being the most important thing. But if you think about it, we choose, you know, a whole lot of appliances on its energy consumption, its energy efficiency. And I'd really like to see that being the case with housing.
Yeah, that's a great idea as well. And then I suppose depending on what your needs are, you're able to know, okay, this is going to be affordable because it's so, you know, environmentally friendly and it aligns with my values and the costs and everything else that goes a part of that as well. We're almost out of time with you, Anthony, this morning. But one thing I just wanted to touch on before we go is something that is probably a real Perth I don't know if you call it a problem, but it's a Perth phenomenon. You know, we have a little bit of land to go around over here. And as such, there's so many new developments going on and people are able to get into the market by doing a new house and land build. But obviously, you know, an hour and a half out, you know, and we utilize the coast. We keep just stretching out further and further along the coastline. But this urban sprawl scenario, do you feel like that is a sustainable housing solution? Or do you feel like that could be problematic?
Look, it's hugely problematic. I mean, when does it end? I mean, how far can we go out? We have a very similar problem in Melbourne where the sort of outreach of the suburbia into the sort of hinterland just continues and continues. And, like, there is a point of no return. Like, there is a point where how far do you need to travel to go to work?
Yes.
How far, you know, what sort of facilities are you going to have in those sort of sprawling suburbs? There's nothing per se wrong with suburbs. Suburbs actually caters to a whole range of people. But I don't believe that one can, you know, in a city, it can just continue to sprawl and for there not to be consequences on on environment, on people's health, and just the look and feel of suburbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
They tend to become very same-like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not an advocate for continuous growth, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thing to observe here. So many of our suburbs in Perth, because they are just built on sort of these sand pits, there isn't a lot of trees and greenery. So when it comes to summer, the heat is often, you know, a couple of degrees in some of the suburbs more than in some of the established suburbs that have, you know, a lot of trees and all that sort of stuff. So it's definitely, from an environmental factor, definitely a huge thing to consider as well. But Anthony, thank you so much for your time and joining me this morning. Really started percolating a lot of thoughts, I know, in my mind, and I'm sure for the listeners as well. So really appreciate your insights.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Thanks, Anthony.